Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
I remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, you know what I mean? It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite shop when you buy all your Halloween stuff, your brand new battle passes, and more if it's hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
What's up? I'm here, slightly breathing, but here.
That's a good thing.
That's a plus.
He's alive. That's all that matters.
And I have a mute button, so that helps.
That does help. And we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the haunted edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live across Wild Talk Radio Network and streaming twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come and join us in the live chat room. You can say hello to Team Chat, who's getting a new old new house. And, of course, the lovely Lindsay Ward, who hosts Thursday Night's Rack at 10 o'clock Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. That being said, with all of that stuff out of the way, I think we're here tonight to wish a one day early happy birthday to Tommy and Blaine, regular listeners.
Happy birthday?
A day early happy birthday to Tommy and Blaine. Yep, I know that they're tuned in right now and they're listening, just getting settled into their new place in Southeast Calgary. So enjoy the day tomorrow, guys, and get sick on cake. That's what birthdays are for, I guess. I don't know. I haven't had one since the beginning of the month.
Tim's had plenty of birthdays.
I've had a couple here and there. Kind of lost count, lost track. It's not a big deal.
It really isn't, but we're here to talk about a WWE PLE that is growing by the day. 7 matches.
This is what happens when Saudi pays for it.
It's like a regular premium live event where it's one of the A shows. You got 7 big matches on the show, multiple championship matches, two championship matches, and 2 matches while fighting for some new championship gold that's only around once a year.
Yeah, for this special match.
for this special match. Well, one of the titles is on the line. It is going to be the United States Championship. LA Knight, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes will do battle.
Yeah, it's that typical format of 2 guys want to fight for the belt. They go back and forth and back and forth. And, well, Instead of choosing one, let's have two.
After them having seven matches together.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that, you know, in the final match they made LA Knight the special referee, because we all saw where that one was going.
Yeah.
Even before it went there.
Yeah.
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 Now, to be fair, Carmelo did kind of spur this on.
Well, yeah.
But you blaming Carmelo? You saying it's his fault?
Considering that he laid into LA Knight, yeah. Yeah, I definitely am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's not going to... The three people being all in one match, yeah, it's not going to be a bad match. It's going to be enjoyable. I don't care the fact that it's like, okay, we get three people in there, because it's three good athletes and they play well off of each other.
It's going to be a fun train wreck.
For sure.
I mean, this could make Andrade a dual champion, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, technically he's the speed champ.
Is he?
It could.
I thought he was.
But as much fun as I'm going to be looking, you know, as much as I'm going to be looking forward to watching this matchup, I don't see Carmelo or Andrade taking that belt off LA Knight.
Oh, hey, Rock, what do you know? As of June 7th, 2024, Andrade is your speed champion.
I don't know if he lost it or not. I know they're running
not yet. The next, I want to say they make the speed championship match after, you know, like the most recent tournament. I want to say it's like the Wednesday before a PLE. So it technically should be this Wednesday that he would defend it.
Yeah, because they were doing a tournament. I don't know if it will, but we'll see. So who wins?
I think Tim already made his pick of Mr. Los Angeles Knight.
What about you?
I did.
Hang on just a second.
Chuck's notes.
All right. That coughing fits out of the way. In terms of this, I really don't see them taking the belt off of Knight quite yet. If you did want to put it on someone like an Andrade or a Carmelo Hayes, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to such a move, because I think any of the three could do well. But in terms of this, I would say Knight retains.
Yeah.
There you go. The women's tag team titles will be on the line. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair will defend against Damage Control, Kairi Sane, Io Sky, Metaphors, Lash Legend, and Jakira Jackson, and Chelsea Green and Piper Niven.
Train wreck.
Explain.
I just think that these gals have slight issues. They've demonstrated slight issues with timing. I'm not saying that any of them are bad, but just from seeing previous matches, I'm not expecting anything super tight. And in fact, I'm expecting it to be a little bit sloppy. However, even though I'm expecting, you know, like I said, train wreck, I don't think it's going to be a bad matchup. However, I will say the champions retain.
Your thoughts, Brent?
So we get a chance to feature four different tag teams, and this is one of those moments where some people are like, oh, there's no women's tag division. Well, I mean, we have four teams here right now, and this doesn't include people like Candice and Indy, and, you know, there's other elements out there for the women's tag. I think this is a way to feature your tag champions in Saudi, because I think they want to be able to see Bianca and Jade compete out there. Chelsea's going to sell the shit out of this match, getting beat up by four different teams, including probably taking friendly fire from Piper, just because that's the way it is. To be fair, I am surprised Metaphor is up on the main roster as much as they are right now, because that's one of those teams, one of those kinds of groupings where you look at them and you go, like, okay, I mean, I get that they can get some reps, but it's also like, I didn't know they were ready for the main roster quite yet.
It helps for cross-brand synergy. You're able to weed everyone in.
It does, and I mean, it is one of those things of, it allows you to be able to move some people around. I don't think it's a full move-up yet.
No.
But it was just surprising, as much as we've seen them recently, to be like, huh, they're getting a lot of screen time here. But, I mean, they're going to be in the ring with some capable hands of Kairi and Io. They've gotten some work in with Jade and Bianca, and, you know, they've been working a little more behind the scenes. So getting reps with those between those four is going to be good. Again, Chelsea and Piper are going to be, you know, entertaining as hell. And Piper does really well out, you know, on these international dates, but, you know, whether it's Saudi or in the UK, she performs well, and a lot of people like to see her because she is a very athletic talent. Mm-hmm. So all in all, I don't think this is going to be, you know, an 8-star classic from Dave Meltzer, but then again, that's because he never really gives women's matches that high of a ranking anyway. But that's a whole different issue. I mean, if it was in Japan and it featured Will Ospreay, it would be 12 stars automatically. But I don't think this, as Tim said, will be a, you know, it's not necessarily going to be a tight match, but at the same time with a fatal four-way, you don't expect that. You expect a little bit of a car wreck involved with them. And you're going to be able to spotlight people in different spots, which is going to help. And when you do need to, you let people sit outside the ring and take breathers as needed. So ultimately, I think this match is going to do what it's supposed to, which is feature certain people. I think Damage Control is going to get a good shine. I think Jade and Bianca are going to get a good shine. Chelsea, again, will be just entertaining as all get out just because she knows her role. But yeah, that's what I think we're going to get ultimately with this match.
Who wins?
I have the champs retaining.
I believe Tim did as well.
I did.
Okay, it's time for Seth freaking Rollins and Bronson Reed to go one-on-one.
Oh, boy. This is a match on the card I am champing at the bit to see. At this point, I'm not sure I care who wins. Mm-hmm. Seth coming back, and this is like his first match since his return, right?
Yes.
And they've been building up Bronson.
For this.
The question that I have is, does it hurt Bronson if they give him the loss? Maybe. Is it going to hurt Seth? Hell no. I see this one being, you know, the first of a best of three. Probably, like, we get treated to a lot. Mm-hmm. And I see, I'm going to call Bronson as the victor.
Talked about it a few weeks ago, Brent, that this was built up exactly for this moment, for Bronson to go over.
Yeah, this is putting Bronson on a featured stage. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, remember, they tried to get Bronson onto the main roster before. They had him on some like dark matches back in the day during the previous regime. And I believe the comment that was made was, do you ever, you know, when it comes to some of these things, do you feel that like Bronson could be a WrestleMania talent? And the answer was no. And that's ultimately what led to his release. We fast forward a few months. Someone takes over and they bring this person back and they start to feature him the way that they were doing in NXT, which is a very big, very agile monster. And they didn't fully embrace the monster aspect yet. And, you know, he got good matches. He got his point. He almost made the card for Elimination Chamber, but of course life got in the way. And by all means, good job at choosing, you know, the birth of your kid instead of, you know, traveling and performing there. I don't think anyone faults him for that. But it's like, that would have been a moment that could have, like, featured him in the chamber. Missed that. And then he got this spot with Seth where he came out and it wasn't just, you know, he goes up and hits a tsunami. It wasn't just he hit two. He hit six and left a world, you know, a former world champion laying. It was one of those things we all watched and went, Jesus, which was a great moment. And then, you know, he took out R-Truth, and he was fighting with Braun Strowman and had the back and forth. And he was sitting, you know, he was giving Braun Strowman everything that he could handle before, you know, Braun eventually got injured. And this is that moment where it's like Seth picked his time, came back, and as you talked about, this all leads up to this big spotlight match where Bronson can look like an absolute animal. Seth is a very credible opponent, former world champion, multi-time, within the past, 6 months has been world champ?
He was at WrestleMania, world champion.
And so this is that moment where, like, Bronson just needs to put in a good show, and it's going to elevate him. Now, I think ultimately what would really help is picking up a dub here. Mm-hmm. But I think Seth can eat a loss in this moment. Because what Bronson needs to do is exactly what he did the first time. Not six, but don't just have, like, Seth pick up a lucky roll-up. That's not going to help anything. But if Bronson goes out there and Seth is, you know, has his comeback spot, and then Bronson lays him down, and then, boom, hits a tsunami, and then turns and looks and goes, I'm not done yet. Hits a second or a third to just drive that point home. I think that's a moment where we all look and we're kind of like, again, damn. Because it'll show it takes more than one to put Seth down, which will help keep him strong. But at the second time, it will show Bronson being a bit ruthless in the fact of, like, I'm not going to settle for one. I want to put this away.
So your pick is?
I'm going to pick Bronson in this. And like I said, I want to see him have, like, a definitive win. Seth can pick up another win in a week or two, or whenever you want, you know, maybe at War Games. But I want to see Bronson win here because I want to see him take another step.
Kevin Owens battles Randy Orton.
These two are going to beat the shit out of each other, and it's going to be great.
Fight, Orton, fight.
Well, and the spot that sold it this week was you've had Randy, you know, he's been friends with Kevin. Kevin's had his problems with Cody. And Randy, you know, basically popped Owens in the face to be like, hey, you're losing your shit. You need to calm down. And Randy got jumped in the back. And we're all used to the fact of, like, Randy would come out and just be like, I want my match with Owens. And, you know, the GM, whoever it would be, whether it's Pierce or Aldis, would be like, okay, fine. But I liked Aldis just going, no. Like, you two are gonna be dangerous. We're not gonna do this. And so then it took Randy going to Hunter and be like, you need to make this match. And Hunter's sitting there like, no, I don't want to make this. Until eventually, like, his hand is kind of forced and he's like, you want this? Okay, but you need to watch your back now. Because Hunter realizes Kevin is different right now. He's a bit more unhinged. And I think that makes it interesting of the fact of, like, for once, Randy has to keep an eye out. He has to kind of keep his head on a swivel. Because we're used to Randy being the apex predator. And in this moment, Kevin's the hunter.
Mm-hmm. So who do you have winning, Brent?
In this, I would take Kevin because I think Kevin will either go somewhere Randy won't right now. Not that Randy's, like, goody-goody two-shoes. We know Randy will, you know, do what he needs to win. But I have a feeling it'll be something where, like, Randy goes for the RKO and Kevin will just straight up kick to the dick. Like, while the referee's back is turned or something. And then he'll hit the stunner in order to pick up the victory. Because we're trying to see this moment where, like, when Kevin faced Cody, he was holding back. He didn't want to go for Cody's knee. He didn't want to take those kinds of shots. And now we're seeing Kevin is kind of a bit unhinged to the point where it's like, yeah, no, he's just going to fight you. He's just going to take it to you.
Tim, what are your thoughts?
Kevin Owens is at his best when he's on the heel side of tweeting out. And yeah, no hesitation, like Brent was pointing out. He's not going to think better of a certain move or a kick or whatever or shenanigans when the ref's back is turned. The two of them are going to put on a hell of a match. It's going to be a hell of a show. And it's probably going to be contender for match of the night. And I'm just looking forward to the carnage. I really am. And it's my feeling they're setting Kevin up as the next number one contender for Cody. So with that thought in my mind, I'm calling KO the winner on this match. It's not going to hurt Randy to take the loss. Not at this stage of his career.
There you go. It is the Bloodline, Solo, Tama, Tonga, or Jacob, taking on Roman Reigns and the reunited Usos.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
So for those of you who don't know, this gets revealed next week at the go-home for SmackDown, which was taped this past week.
Or, my feeling is, they announce it tomorrow on social and talk about it on Raw. And then the big promo is going to happen on SmackDown. That's kind of where I feel like it's
I just love the fact of how it comes about from what I've read in terms of the segment. Yeah, it's basically Jay says, I'm coming back to try and heal the family, but if you try any shit, Roman, I'm out. I'm straight up walking. We're not doing this shit all over again with how you acted and how we got put through it. And basically Roman's response to it, to acknowledge the fact of like, yeah, we're in this together, is to say yeet.
That was after the taping was over?
No, it was taped.
No, it's the segment.
It's the segment for Friday.
No, from what I saw, that whole bit took place after.
Well, it was after this week's show, but it's taped.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying after. I'm not saying it was taped. I was saying that it was done off air, like after that taping for next week's show.
No, it's
so. What I saw, I could be wrong. And from what you're saying, it sounds like I am. So, that's perfectly fine by me. You did warn spoiler alert, so which is that's all good. That's all fine. Every time you think they've run out of bloodline storyline and they've got to move on from it, they freshen it the heck back up again. And except for the cool kids who, are all on the "oh, we're over this" train, this is seriously the most compelling storyline WWE has put out in 30 years. It's great. And I'm almost surprised to say that I'm excited for the match.
I think one of the things that really helps this as well is we all see and know where this is heading in terms of next month. At least what we think the whole plan is. Because there is something called War Games up ahead. And everyone has basically said since WrestleMania that it will be Bloodline. Mm-hmm. And so we've had it on the calendar, but the way they go about doing it, as Tim said, has kept you guessing a bit. Because a lot of people, I think, going into Crown Jewel, at least in terms of predictions I saw, they were like, oh, it's going to be Roman and Jacob in a one-on-one match in Saudi, which will then build towards this four-way. Well, we're now getting the six-man here. And, I mean, you still have the one numbers advantage for the Bloodline, 2.0, not OG. But
for the time being, yeah.
Right, for the time being. But we're still sitting there, and there's a lot of pieces that are still in play that we haven't seen how they're going to be used yet. Because, I mean, Dwayne is sitting out there. He's made an appearance recently, and, he did the 1-2-3, and we're like, okay, was he counting the three people in the ring? Was it "hit my music"? Was it... there's a lot of questions there. There's Paul Heyman sitting out there somewhere. What's his role in all of this, if there's going to be a role? As we said, there's currently a numbers disadvantage. There's four people as part of the 2.0, three people on the OG. So what does that mean for the fourth spot? Is there someone we haven't seen yet? Is someone going to be brought back and be a little oozy? There's a lot out there that's still to be written, but it's keeping it keeps you guessing week to week. And what it's doing is it's also allowing someone like Solo Sikoa to get a bit more personality, where in the first bit of the Bloodline, he was just the enforcer. He was the big muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting to see him with a bit more personality and a bit more, stand up to Roman. And Jacob is kind of getting to be that muscle. And you've got, the Gorillas of Destiny, which, depending upon their week, can be really, really good or, can be botchamania fuel. Either way. But they have a pedigree behind them that makes them legitimate based on, fighting in FCW with Roman or fighting in New Japan, earning all of those titles that they did. And now you've got, so you're going to have this matchup of the Gorillas of Destiny on one side, or Jacob, and you've got possibly the most decorated WWE tag team of all time, reunited. I think that's a moment alone where people look at that and go, yeah, I can deal with that. And then you're going to add Roman and Solo on top of it, and it's like, yeah, cool. I'm here for it. And it's going to take that next step to wherever we're heading in terms of November and building teams and possibly the war games that we're all anticipating.
So who comes out on top of this battle? Brent?
I'm kind of torn on this because you had the Bloodline lose to Cody and Roman. They won the triple threat, but part of me goes, if Roman and the Usos win here, what's the point of getting them to war games? I mean, you could have them win and get beat down by the numbers and try to set up the full, you know, the evening of the field. But I feel like Bloodline 2.0 need the win here so that it sets up next month.
Mm-hmm. Who wins, Tim?
For more, you know, authority.
You know, basically, in a nutshell, that's more or less my stance. Bloodline 2.0 takes it to set up war games. And like you were saying, Brent, we're all anticipating it. And it's not like it's a very closely guarded secret. You say, you know, you got The Rock sitting, coming back and sitting around on the outside. What's up with that? You've got Paul Heyman that we haven't seen for a little while. Is Paul going to show up with somebody to join the OG Bloodline for War Games? Is Rock going to join them? What's happening? So I'm giving the match to 2.0.
There you go.
There you go.
That's it.
All right. The WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship is on the line. Liv Morgan, the Raw Women's Champion, takes on Nia Jax, who is the WWE Women's Champion.
I will say this, when they first announced this match, this is not the matchup I thought they would end up with.
No.
I think there was a bunch of us that was like, oh, they're going to have the two women champions fight each other at Crown Jewel for the championship, like back in the day when they used to do that Survivor Series. And I think there were some of us when we remembered, what was it, Brock and Daniel, I think?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was supposed to be Brock and Jinder originally. And we were like, huh. And then AJ won, I want to say, across the pond, right?
I don't remember where, but yeah, you're on.
But he won and stepped into that match, and I think we all kind of went, oh, okay, cool. We can handle this one. We can handle this.
Yeah.
And I think with this, it was that same thing. Like, we thought we're watching like Liv and Nia, and we're kind of like, okay, well, someone's going to drop a title here because we're not going to get these two going into Saudi, right? We're a week out, and this looks like it's the match. And so I think a lot of us are going, huh, okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. Both of them are very good champions. It's weird to have a heel on heel, especially in this way.
Yeah.
But I do like the added component of Tiffy, because the story going into this is that Tiffany's going to cash in during this match and possibly take the belt away from Liv. At least that's the storyline. It would be a fun swerve if Nia's down or like something happens and Tiffy's supposed to cash in on Liv and she kind of gives that second thought for a moment, like, wait a minute, what about this one? I saw someone say that, you know, Tiffany's going to cash in and get all three belts. No. The only belt on the line is the crown jewel. It's not the others, unless Tiffany puts in for the one. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
The only thing I would wind up looking forward to in this match is the cash in, if it happens. Otherwise, I really don't have any feelings one way or the other. If they keep it straight up, I'm going to say Nia wins the crown jewel title and holds it until next year or whatever. But yeah, the only caveat I have is Tiffy cashing in. And if she does, who's she going to cash in on?
Yeah. I think when it comes to the crown jewel belt, it's like Braun Strowman winning the greatest Royal Rumble. It just so happens to have a title associated with it, but it's not a defendable title. It's just
doesn't mean anything to anybody except Saudis in Saudi Arabia. So, right. And if any of them are listening, I'm not taking a shot at you or your country. Trust me, that was not a shot.
Well, or I was going to say it's also like AEW's version of the Owen, where it's like, okay, cool, you won that tournament, you get this belt, but it's never going to be defended. You just, I mean, unless you're Mariah May, who happens to carry it around after the tournament is over, it's just kind of there until it's like, well, let's dust it off when we do the next tournament.
Yeah, it's on the same level as the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, to me, anyway.
Yeah,
who wins?
Well, I said, I already said, if it's a straight up, then Nia's the winner of that thing.
Right.
Want to do something really crazy and stupid? Fuck it, I'm going to do it. Tiffany wins this. Somehow she'll cash in and I think defeat Nia, and through that will win the crown jewel. Because I think that could set up something interesting, because she'll have the SmackDown title off of Nia, and either through doing so can, you know, happen to defeat Liv in order to get the crown jewel, and then sets up your next program for the next month or two of Nia being like, what the high holy hell did you do? Like, we had the plan that you were supposed to do this, and Tiffany can be like, no, that was your plan.
There you go. And now it's the world's heavyweight champion Gunther taking on the WWE Undisputed Champion Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, chill up and take my money.
Cody's chest is going to become dog meat by the end of this match. He's going to need surgery on the other pec.
Probably.
But it's going to be entertaining as all hell to watch these two. And they've
I've been waiting for almost a whole year, Brent.
Well, I just like the fact that they've cut some really good promos back and forth that have been all about essentially like, let the best man win. You know, Gunther has been sitting there essentially talking about, you know, like, he's the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, he has this belt, and then, but you have Cody who can instantly follow back with, yeah, but I've defeated a beast. I've taken down the head of the table. You think you're this untouchable thing. I've proven I can touch the untouchable. And I like that it's just been back and forth between these two, and it hasn't really been that, like, we're going to get physical. It's more just like, we're going to let it talk in Saudi.
That's been the build. Now the important question is, which champion wins?
I'm giving it to Gunther. I think that they want to do everything that they can to build him up even more than they have. And it's not going to hurt Cody not to win it. I mean, he's climbed the mountain that he came back to WWE to climb. And it's perfectly fine with him on SmackDown holding that title and being the reigning defending. And we all want that rematch between Cody and Roman. Let's face it. I mean, even those of us who are saying, oh, we don't want to, we don't want. Yeah, you do. Shut up. You're not fooling anybody. And that's the next mountain for Cody. Can he successfully defend a thing? Never mind knock Roman off the mountain to stand there himself. Can he stay standing? That's a story for another time, I guess. But I think that Gunther winning Crown Jewel in Saudi is probably some people are going to say some over this, but I think it's a bigger deal, Gunther winning that title, than either Nia or Liv or Tiff winning the women's title.
Okay.
I don't want people taking what I just said the wrong way, but it's going to happen. I mean, that maybe nobody listening live, but somebody listening to the archive might say, oh, Tim's such a misogynist. No, I'm not. That's got nothing to do with it.
Brent, who wins?
To me, in this, Gunther is one of those things where when he loses, it's a big deal. You don't just have him kind of lose matches randomly. That's why, you know, Sammy beating him was a big deal, because it was dropping the belt after 666 days. And the way in which Sammy did it helped elevate Sammy. I think in this kind of match, It's built to where Gunther can lose because he's still champion. Having him lose here, he still will retain the belt. He loses to essentially another ultimate underdog in Cody, so he still looks like a goddamn monster. But Cody can win. And even though Cody has slayed a beast, he has taken down Roman, he could hang one on Gunther outside of the Royal Rumble, which we all saw. But it also can be part of that storyline of, like, Cody just gets beat up all the time. And so whenever Cody loses next, because, I mean, he has dropped matches. We've seen Cody take hits. He could take one here if need be. But I think what'll happen is he can beat Gunther. He can get the Saudi belt because the Saudi belt isn't anything but a glorified, hey, look, he's quote-unquote best of the two champions right now. Yay. But it could set him up to lose to Kevin if he wants to. And you could have Kevin regain a world championship, something he hasn't held for a long time, and if he beat Cody for it, would be a big statement. Honestly, I would love to see Cody win here, and then Kevin gets the chance, beats Cody the way he beat Sammy for it in NXT, where he just beats Cody down to the point where, like, the ref has to step in and be like, nope, this isn't happening anymore. This cannot continue, because I think that would send a statement. But in this case, I'm going with Cody wins the celebratory title because Cody can, and Gunther can take a loss without doing anything to him.
Is that the first one you and I disagreed on this entire PLE?
No, the women's, because remember I took a stab and went Tiffy.
Yeah, that's right. You gambled, or you're gambling.
And I am more than happy with taking that gamble, because I think if it turns out that way, it would be hilarious.
And there you go. And that's our show.
That being said, I just want to bring up, it's really nice to see the Motor City Machine Guns in WWE. That's been a lot of fun. And they had two fantastic matches on Friday night. That was awesome.
Indeed.
It was. So that was just my little observation thing. Nice to see them at the show, as it were. the one tag team across all platforms that I've always liked, and you guys know that. And I'm just really happy that they're here now. Or, like, here, like in WWE. That being said, hey, everybody, tomorrow immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It is indeed the Raw post show live at 10 p.m. Eastern.
At least for next week.
At least for the end of, till the end of the year.
Till the end of the year. And, of course, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, I said it at the top of the show, and I'm saying it again. It's another edition of The Rack with the lovely Lindsay Ward. She's currently in the chat. And, once again, hi, Lindsay. Rock will be joining her Thursday night to talk stuff.
We're going to preview Crown Jewel, talk all the news and notes. It's The Rack live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. If Brent's controller works, we'll have GM battles this Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern after SmackDown.
I was going to say.
So it's all on, it's controller pending.
It decided to take some time off. I don't know what happened. I'll try to get it to see if I can get it to work. No, it's not that. It's the USB connection.
Yeah.
Oh, get a new one.
The computer doesn't read it.
Get a new one. Reboot the computer.
We've been there. We've done. Anyway.
We rebooted the computer. It took forever for it to come back.
Yeah,
they're doing that. Gotcha. Okay, that's fine. So, special CB radio Saturday night or Rack Extra.
GM, it will be WTR Game Night live at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're talking about the playing the new season of Fortnite Battle Royale. We'll go back to Chapter 2, followed by a normal edition of CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Last night, check out last night's archive when it's available via podcast. If you watch the VOD, the audio won't mostly be there because a lot of it was clips, and, well, that doesn't get It's stuck in Nevada, but it is available in the podcast. So just download the podcast. It's cool. It's wonderful. Just search for the Wild Talk Radio Network. We did the roast of the Godfather Extreme. But we'll be back next Sunday to review WWE Crown Jewel at 10 p.m. Eastern.
God, I have to oh, shit.
What'd you do?
No. Times change next weekend.
Oh.
I need to figure out when the show is for me.
We'll figure that out.
I think it's 8. I think it's 8 o'clock my time.
Yeah, it's 8
o'clock. Because I think I moved to 2 hours.
Does your clock move at all?
No, but everything moves around it. That's the problem.
Okay.
Is
okay, hang on. Okay, so you're in that part of North America where you never change your clocks. Right now, for you, it is what time?
It is 7:53.
So it's going to be 6:53.
We move to Mountain Time with the fall.
Yeah, we fall back to him, and then we spring ahead of him.
Yeah, so currently I'm on Pacific, but as of next Sunday, I move to Mountain, which means football now starts at 11, which is amazing.
There you go. Anyway, that's math, so there you go. You tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sun on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on socials.
I am. Follow me at Flames Forums. I got a thing going here where I got a petition going at change.org. Retire 13 forever. In honor of the late hockey great Johnny Gaudreau tragically losing his life along with his brother to an impaired driver back at the end of August. I've got that going on and just about to launch something called Fans Against Impaired Driving. Please stay tuned for more details. I've got a website up, just have to populate it and get some content going, and going to be doing a non-profit thing solely to get the word out. If you're a fan of sports, keep an eye on your buddies. Don't let them drive impaired. Don't you drive impaired. Call a cab, an Uber, a Lyft, whatever. But stay tuned for more details in the upcoming weeks. And go to change.org and please sign the petition, Retire 13 Forever.
I believe there should be a link on your Twitter somewhere.
There is a link on my Twitter. It's pinned.
There you go. Pinned at the top of his Twitter. Let's check the link out. Brent, you're on the socials.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter, Threads, Twitter, X, Threads, Instagram, and also Blue Sky, either at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. One of those amalgamations will work.
There you go. Chat reminder.
But yeah, Blue Sky.
Whatever that is. If chat reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen, and you can use credit card RocketSocket for an item shop because we're a hashtag epic partner. Yeah, it's the new Twitter. It's a new safe Twitter or whatever, and people will sort of use it and then go back to Twitter. Isn't that the deal?
Well, this has been around for, I want to say, at least a year now, but people are now moving over considering that Twitter is... So if you block people, they can still see your tweets, but they just can't interact with them, which makes me go, why the heck is the block a feature? So that, I think, drove a lot of people away.
Again, we'll welcome all back to Twitter in about 6 months.
Well, who knows? We may find out in a week whether or not people want to go back.
We shall see. But Tim, send us home.
Thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. Have a great week. Stay tuned to socials for any news and updates with the website and network. Enjoy Crown Jewel. Don't forget, it's daytime because they're over in Saudi. And we'll catch you next Sunday night as we review it.
Wild Talk Radio Network.